now, The Ian Jessup Show.
Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Cinecentre Theatre at the University of Victoria is a showing of the award-winning documentary Huntington's Dents. Joining us is the executive producer of the film, Gene Ferbey, whose family is featured in the documentary. His first wife died of Huntington's, and his son, who has been diagnosed with it. Thanks for coming in, Gene.
Thanks for being here.
Now, I profess an ignorance of Huntington's disease. Mm-hmm. I know nothing about it. Can you tell our listeners what it is?
It's a fairly uncommon genetic disease that the film that people will be seeing explores from a scientific point of view and from the emotional point of view. It's a neurological disease. It's passed down from generation to generation, and it affects the person's physical movements. The idea of dance that this film uses is based on the choreiform movements or dance-like movements that people with Huntington's disease has. There's an uncontrolled nature to them. When they're asleep, oftentimes the uncontrolled movements stop, but when the movements are active, when they're awake, sometimes it appears like they're drunk. My first wife actually was picked up when she was driving once. They thought she was intoxicated, but it took them a day or so, to realize she had Huntington's disease. So it also affects people's emotions, their mental functions. It manifests variously according to the family. Some people inherit the disease in such a way that it manifests in the early years of life. In some people, it manifests in later years. I think my son told me the other day that the youngest person who's been affected by Huntington's was 2 years old, and the oldest person was 80 when the symptoms manifest. Uh-huh. So it's like, in my son's case and in my wife's family, the disease tends to manifest at about 40 years of age. Mm. Up until that time, the person's life goes along at a fairly normal tempo. But once the disease starts to progress, in my wife's family, it progresses over a period of about 20 years with gradual deterioration to the point to where they need palliative care.
In watching this documentary, I watched the trailer of it, and it is very, very emotional. Mm-hmm. It's a very emotional film. What was your reaction when you first saw it?
Well, I saw all the raw footage before.
Oh, I see.
Before
okay.
It was completed, being a personal matter, and even though the other people that watched it was helping with the editing of the film, upsetting to watch some of the footage. I know for me, it's my life there that's I went through for a number of years. I think I'm impacted every time I watch it. I've seen it, the full film, probably a couple dozen times now. Every time I see it, I'm emotionally involved in it and mm-hmm. moved by the story that Chris told in this footage that he shot over a period of 18 years. It's a longitudinal portrayal of the course of this disease, and it shows him as a young man before he was symptomatic, and follows him through some various, very important decisions that he made to find out if he was a carrier of the Huntington's gene.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The first part of the film is about your first wife, and the second part is about your son, Chris.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Probably the first half, a little less than half of that film is when Chris returns to West Virginia to look after his mother, mm-hmm. who had locked herself kind of into her house and wouldn't let her sister come in to help her. And the only person that she would talk to was my son, and he was living in California then. Flew back to West Virginia and was with her for about 3 months there while he tried to get her life together in some way and get care arranged for her. And that's where he had the idea to set up his camera and start shooting footage of his life there with his mother. The film really starts with that place where he engages the audience, his conversation about what's going on inside him as he finds his mother in the condition that he does.
When he told you he was going to do this, what did you think?
Well, he did it without telling anyone, shot the footage, and it was probably a couple of years before I realized that he had any idea that he might make a film. It was started off as a video diary, mm-hmm. mainly for himself. It's kind of like a catharsis,
yeah.
emotional catharsis, where he could set up the camera and talk into the camera and about his confusion and his turmoil, the things that were happening with his mother.
Because he knew his mother when she was healthy.
Yes.
And now she was suffering from Huntington's, and she wasn't the same person. So there was that internal struggle going on with him, and the struggle that he may have, which he may get what she has.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the poignant feature in this, as it's, the film is introduced by his time in West Virginia. And you begin to see with Chris thinking about, is that my fate? Is that where I'm headed? Mm-hmm. And do I want to know, if I have this disease or not? And he has to come to that decision. And he does. The film shows that.
Gene, what was it like for you? Tell me about when he contacted you and said he had the disease.
Well, I knew he was being tested. I was privy to that he had tested, and that he would get his results in 2 weeks. And so I was part of the waiting period. He was living in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I was here in Canada, so we were in touch regularly during that time. It was a very difficult period of time for him. Both of us were fearful of the results.
Yeah.
Of what would happen, but there was the idea of getting the test is that maybe you don't have it. In his case, and in many people's case, you live with the idea that you're going to get it. Pretty certain, in fact, most people have had a parent with the Huntington's gene think that they have it. And some people, when they're tested, it's even an adjustment period to find out that they're not a carrier of the gene because the idea themselves has always been, well, I'm going to get Huntington's. Mm-hmm. So there's an adjustment period there. But for somebody then who finds that they are positive for the gene, then there's another kind of adjustment period. Everybody goes through how they're going to live their life and whether they want to have children, what their future is going to be, how it's going to impact their living. So there's some very personal decisions that each person has to come to incorporate the idea that, yes, they will become symptomatic.
When you got married to your first wife, mm-hmm. did she tell you that she may end up with Huntington's?
She didn't know.
Oh, she didn't.
She didn't know, or this is part of the film, too. In Rosemary's family, there was a strong denial that this illness existed. Nobody would speak about it. There was no conversation about it. And I first discovered there was something happening in her family when I saw her father. I was doing my internship at West Virginia University at the time, and I went up to visit Joe and Ruth, her parents. And Joe's movements were strange. It was, they were...
Erratic?
Yeah, they were uncontrolled. And I hadn't seen him for maybe a year. So I asked Rosemary about it, and she says, well, I don't know what it is, but my grandmother died with this disease, and she was in a hospital in this town somewhere in West Virginia, and I think that they said it was Huntington's or something. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time we' 'd had a conversation. That was 10 years into our marriage, and Chris at that time was 5 years old, and that began a whole conversation with Rosemary and I about how do we approach having more children? How do we deal with this? And for her, she didn't want to talk about having the disease or the possibility that she could get the disease. She didn't want to talk about father's illness. And it was just kind of accepted that Joe was different. And it impacted our marriage because it cut off a line of communication that we had had to that point where we could talk about anything.
Yeah.
And now there was a vital part of our life that had to be concealed. And I think today her family, her sisters and people back in West Virginia still don't talk about it.
How many kids did you and Rosemary have?
We had one.
Just one.
As a result of that information, I didn't want to have any more children until I got more information. I didn't even know the genetics of it back then.
Yeah, but Rosemary's sisters do not have it?
She had one sister died.
One sister died.
With it. And then two other sisters and a brother did not get the disease. But in some families, like out of 7 kids, maybe 5 will get it. It's basically a 50-50 chance of each child inheriting the disease.
And how is your son doing?
Chris is 50. just turned 50. In his family at 40, these symptoms tend to begin around 40. So he's 10 years now into the expression of the Huntington's gene. Mm-hmm. He's still driving. He's still working. I was just down there visiting him, and just this past weekend, an interesting development in his life. Ian never wanted to get married and have to put anybody through what a spouse has to go through with this disease, but he fell in love with a young woman through an internet connection. They met, fell in love, and this past weekend they got married. So here's this situation where he's driving, he's working, and his symptoms are increasing. Just this weekend, he was exhausted from all the stress and excitement of the wedding, and his symptoms became more exacerbated. Movements he said he felt off balance. He's having some trouble with his memory, some trouble with his speech. We're hoping that the progression of his disease will be slow over the next 10 or so years. I mean, in his family, his grandfather died when he was about 61. His mother died when she was 60. So at some level, you would expect that he might have another 10 years. And who knows? In his case, he's taken much better care of himself than his mother did. He has fewer number of genetic expressions of the disease than his mother did, which may attenuate the progression of the disease, so it's maybe less severe or maybe slower. We don't really know that until it happens.
You told me an interesting story during the commercial break of how he discovered that he was symptomatic.
Yes.
while filming. Tell listeners that story.
Yes, well, that's a part of the film that's kind of chilling in a way, because with Huntington's, people that have been diagnosed positive, they're not sure if when they drop something or they forget something, maybe that's Huntington's. And so they're always wondering. Chris used to always ask me, Dad, do you think I'm showing symptoms? And mm-hmm. I couldn't really say, because it comes on slowly. So he was filming. This is a scene in the film where he was filming one of his friends showing a horse, and she was riding the horse, and he was photographing it for her so she could use this to advertise selling this horse. And this horse had never done this, but it started bucking and jumping and threw her off the horse. So he sets his camera down, runs down to help her, see if she's okay. Camera's still running. He comes back after making sure she's okay, picks up the camera, takes it back to the house. And that evening, they're watching the footage mm-hmm. of this. And he sees this movement in his left arm, how its uncontrolled movement is moving around his side and across his back.
But he doesn't notice it himself.
He didn't know that. I mean, some people in the midst of serious choriform movements, serious uncontrolled movements, don't even experience it, that they're moving uncontrollably. Mm-hmm. From the outside, they feel that their movements are okay. Mm-hmm. You kind of adapt, I think, to it. But when he saw that, he realized, yes, I'm symptomatic, and he went back to his support group and asked them, am I symptomatic? Have you noticed it? And they all said, yeah, we've seen it for a while, but nobody had commented on it.
Wow. How is he psychologically?
Well, I'll tell you this. In his mother's case, she got very paranoid, didn't trust people, would fly off and get angry and withdraw, shut people out.
Because it not only affects your movements, it affects your brain as well.
Affects you emotionally and mentally.
Yeah.
With Chris, there's been a conversation between he and I all since he was a child mm-hmm. about this. And we've stayed in conversation, and he's sought help with counselors and with a support group for it. So in his case, he's able to talk about things and seek help for the depression that comes and be involved in medical care that can offer support for the movements. There's some medications out there that are effective in diminishing the uncontrolled movements now. There's no cure at this time, but there are some clinical trials happening at UBC, which is leading a cutting-edge movement in their research, where they actually found a genetic way to deal with the Huntington's gene in the mice, in a mouse model.
Oh.
And now they're beginning to do clinical trials with humans to see if it can be a way to stop the progression of this disease.
Isn't that exciting?
It's just that element of hope that's always been there for us over the years, that they would find a cure for this disease.
How does his new wife feel about this?
Well, they're so in love that I think...
Love is blind, right?
Love is just... And he showed her the film. He showed her what she's looking at. She's aware of his symptoms right now, but she has signed on with him to help him through the last years of his life.
Well, he's lucked out, isn't he?
I would say.
Yeah. The film is Huntington's Dance. Gene, good to talk to you. Good to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.